a boutique and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry, for the children. Makes me wanna cry for Mother Earth. Makes me wanna cry, for the children. Makes me wanna cry.
Did they ever hear of solar power? Ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave? The heat from a volcano? There's so much we could do. There's so much we could know. If we listen to the earth.
Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for September 4th, 2020.
When the air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
The connections between environmental justice, Black Lives Matter, and climate change are explored in today's Ecologic.
What is the difference between not in my backyard and think globally, act locally?
Why are the pollution sources so often in poor neighborhoods? What do those pollution sources do to the global atmosphere? What do those pollution sources do to the health of the people living nearby?
As Eddie Bautista says, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
Our guest today is Maria Lopez Nunez from Ironbound Community Corporation in Newark, New Jersey. Hi, Maria, and welcome to Ecologic again. Let's start with telling listeners what environmental justice and environmental racism is.
Oh, we lost Maria.
Well, we will know that that is...
Yay.
Two, zero.
Hey. Oh, no. We'll make it work.
We will make it work.
I'll have to say hello to her all over again. And
she's worth waiting for. Those of you who have listening to Ecologic a long time have heard her before.
You can go to ecoradio.com for those of you who are...
.org.
.org, I'm sorry, online. And just search for her. She's back? So, hi, Maria. We welcome you to Ecologic again. You've been a guest on the show before. And we want you to... Could you start with telling our listeners what environmental justice and environmental racism is?
Yes, and thank you for having me. So for those of you that don't know, I know environmentalism is very much seen as tree hugging, and it's very racialized, right? Like, a lot of people associate environmentalism with like suburban white hippies, but there is a movement, it's called environmental justice, that stands in response to the environmental racism that has existed in this country forever, right? Whether that be redlining or taking people's native lands away. The country has just a legacy of racism in how it distributes pollution and environmental burden. And so environmental justice is led by people of color, for people of color, and low-income people.
I have noticed environmental justice being mentioned in a lot more different environmental groups. The Big Green, some of them for the first time, are talking about environmental justice. basically since George Floyd was assassinated.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's been interesting and kind of sad to see that it takes such tragedy to get mainstream white groups, what we call the Big Greens, to finally pay attention and reckon with their own racist histories, right? There are a lot of them were founded by segregationists and thinking about how to keep pristine parks pristine and for certain people and, you know, displacing indigenous people from their homelands. So I think there's a lot to reckon with in the mainstream environmental movement. Environmental justice has always had race class analysis, a structural analysis about how to solve our problems. And so it's nice to see them play catch up, but I want to make sure that they don't drown out the voices of those of us who have been doing this work for so long. Well,
Do you think that could happen?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Donna.
Things get done on all levels, of course, but things get done on the local level because, as you've pointed out in the past, the Big Greens concentrate on a national level. They need the grassroots organizations to really show the way of what's happening in that individual community.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for sure. They have a bird's eye view.
Right. And to fight on the, I know you've had a lot of successes lately. Tell us about those successes on the municipal, local level.
Yeah, actually, our latest success was on the state level, and we did it without any Greens. You know, it was just a coalition between Ironbound, New Jersey Environmental Justice Alliance, and Our Clean Water, which is much smaller in New Jersey. You know, they're a smaller Green. We didn't ask for the Big Green's help because we wanted this to be a buy-in for the community win. And what we managed to pass is a historic landmark environmental justice bill that actually acknowledges the historic burden on our communities and the fact that, you know, like in my community, there is an incinerator, there's a sewer treatment plant, natural gas plant, fat rendering plant, the port of Newark, New Jersey, you know, which is the largest port on the eastern seaboard. And I could go on and on, right? The longest Superfund site is just a laundry list of things that are bad for us that exist in my environment. And up until now, our state government has not had the ability to be able to say no. And this bill gives them the ability to say no more. And if you're coming in for a renewal, you actually have to put conditions that reduce the environmental burden on our community. So, you know, it's a first step, and the fight to justice is long, long, long arc of history, right? But I think it's an important first step to at least ensure that no further harm is done to our communities. And we won that under right now, but you know, to talk about local, first we had to pass it on the municipal level to show this is, you know, this is what we want. This is what the landmark is. And then step up to the state level, because I really do believe that meaningful change comes from the bottom up. And too often, sure, the Big Greens are just focused on the federal, you know, the national level. And sometimes when you have policy that large, that broad, you miss the nuances. And our communities really get sold out in the details.
And that's why it's so great that groups like yours exist, and you network with environmental justice groups all over the country, right?
Yeah, so we're part of the Climate Justice Alliance, proud members of the Climate Justice Alliance. And the Climate Justice Alliance, how it's different is that it has a governing body. It is mostly made up of grassroots faith-building groups. That's 75% of our membership. And then we get to talk to each other.
And congratulations for just getting elected into the steering committee of Climate Justice Alliance.
Yeah, thank you. You know, even that's super important because we only get elected by a supermajority, you know, so we're trying to really deepen what democracy looks like. And then through that alliance, I've had the opportunity to learn, for instance, from the wonderful work that the New York Environmental Justice Alliance and UPWLS have been leading on the Community Protections Act or the community grid, right? How do we get energy democracy in our neighborhoods? And I've been able to learn from California and the wonderful ports regulations. You know, they have stricter regulations, and we would like to see that in our port, for our port communities as well. So we get to learn and build off each other's successes. And I think that this translocal power is really the way to center the influence of frontline communities.
How can people get involved with your organization or with environmental justice organizations in their area?
Yeah, that's where I would suggest going to the Climate Justice Alliance, because you can then look up who's doing either the work that's interesting to you, because EJ is such a broad banner. You know, I would say we're not a niche of the environmental movement. We're actually much broader than that. We do everything from housing justice, transportation. You know, for Ironbound, we also do housing because our lives are so intersectional. And so you can look up your region and see who's doing work and what work they're doing if you go to the Climate Justice Alliance page. So climatejusticealliance.org. I know it's really long, but it's worth looking up.
And
at least Climate Justice Alliance webpage is the name of the group. You don't have to remember two different things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's true. That's for sure. And then you could look up what's the local grassroots group in your area and then connect with them directly. You don't have to go through the alliance.
And Black Lives Matter movement is intricately related to environmental justice, right?
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. Like I said, for environmental justice, climate justice, we've always had a racial analysis that seeks to prioritize Black lives, indigenous sovereignty. You know, like think about how our communities can have our self-determination and we can repair the harm that this country has done. So that's what I love about our movement. It's really intersectional and it does have a systematic analysis. It doesn't stop at our water. You know, it cares about the whole human being that is in our that are in our frontline communities, you know, who bear the brunt of our consumption based society.
Yeah, I'm looking at the climatejusticealliance.org website now, and there's a lot of information just there. And of course, ironboundcc.org, the group you're with, a lot of information there. Listeners who are just learning about this as an issue can really get involved in a hurry. And of course, there are a lot of people who kind of know about environmental justice as an issue, but it's sort of on the periphery, and you're hearing about it more and more. One of the things I like to say is pollution anywhere is pollution everywhere. Just because they put air pollution in a black or brown neighborhood doesn't mean that their air pollution doesn't go into the atmosphere and increase global warming. And they put it in those neighborhoods to try to make them more invisible because they think the neighborhoods are invisible. But you guys ain't invisible at all.
Somehow pollution and viruses, they don't pay attention to the city boundaries.
They don't, but they do. They are moved by the historic, you know, inequalities we've created. So that's what's exaggerating. You see that with COVID, right? The disproportionate death in black and brown communities.
And that
has everything. You know, the New York Times, it took out an article showing the connection between redlining and urban heat island effect. And I think that story sadly replays itself over and over, and it compounds the impact on our community, right? Because it's not just one thing. It's not just police brutality or education inequality. It's also gentrification, and it's also bad drinking water, you know? And the list goes on and on. And then you think about a child just trying to have equal access, you know, or opportunity to live out their dreams and to seek happiness. And I think in this country, that's a dream deferred.
What is Ironbound doing right now?
What are we not doing right now? No. So what we're doing right now is the environmental justice bill in connection with our colleagues, it was just super important. We're going to have to keep an eye on that because so often we pass great bills, but we have to keep an eye on their implementation and seeing what happens with the rulemaking in the Department of Environmental Protections in our state. We're also trying to defend ourselves against this thing called the Transportation Climate Initiative, which is a carbon tax-based system, right? Like the Greens also love their market-based solutions. And as people who the market has never worked for, right, like black folks have been sold by the market, our lands have been taken by the market. There's just so much that has happened, so much historic harm that has been done by market forces in our communities. We are obviously more than skeptical of it, and we don't think that that's the way to solve our climate issues. We need really community-rooted issues, just transition, which is being displayed on the ground by communities. So that's our big thing. It's how do we defend ourselves against what's really, in New Jersey, it'll end up being a gas tax on top of all the gas tax. And the way I see it, it's going to be taxing the poor to subsidize the rich people's Tesla, you know, which is something that happened also with, like, solar grids on top of our houses. It didn't go to renters. It went to people out in the suburbs. And guess what? In our neighborhood, we have electric, we have natural gas plants. So how is that electricity going to be created? It's going to be created on our burdens. So instead of funding public transportation, because we think public transportation should be free to address transportation emissions, it's going to, you know, we're focusing on individual solutions, which is what we did with recycling. And we've seen where that's gotten us, where it doesn't solve waste. We can't think that decreasing emissions is about everybody getting an electric car, you know. So I think that that fight is an upcoming fight that's become really important with us. And obviously, we're focusing on housing and trying to make sure that when we come out of this pandemic, we don't have all the people on the streets, because we want to better our neighborhood, because we believe we deserve nice things too.
Yeah, electric cars have to be powered by something. And if you don't have solar powers on your roof with your electric car, that means some gas plant somewhere is working a little extra to power your car. And where is that gas plant located?
In a black and brown neighborhood, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. And how fear is, that there's so much focus on this individual solution, and that people think they can do that work and then go home. And we're saying, don't spend the political capital on that. Actually, be more broad, be more visionary. I think it's a moment for the Greens to reconcile the wrong way they've been doing things, sometimes using our communities as justification for things we don't want. And this is an invitation to them to help us vision a brighter future. You know, let's not take incremental steps. Let's actually make real shifts in our society.
That brings to mind that there was a park on 145th Street, New York, Riverbank, where they went out of the way to make it sound so good that they were giving something to the community. And there were some decent politicians behind it, unfortunately. But it was just a ruse to be able to bring a sanitation plant there. And a waste treatment there. So it really didn't benefit the community. It benefited the city for bringing a negative industry into the community.
But in the long run, it gave us West Harlem Environmental Action Coalition.
That was the cup half full.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, and that's the same thing that the Transportation Climate Initiative is proposing to do. They try to buy our communities out with money and say, well, we're investing in your community. And we've heard those promises before. So
it's greenwashing.
You know, we're very suspicious. Exactly. You know, we'll give you a little something, just go with this plan. And we're like, no, we want plans that guarantee emissions reduction in our communities. And we know that there's no lockbox. So anytime they raise money this way, it ends up going to plug the general fund, or even worse, to subsidize fossil fuel companies. That is not off the Democrats' platform. So it's a thing that we worry about, and that we would like to see the Greens be stronger in their position against market-based solutions.
And you had a great step in Trenton with getting a bill passed. And I want to remind anybody who might know somebody who works in Trenton that we're keeping an eye on you. Don't just pass a bill and then never enforce it. The bill is supposed to do good, so it better damn well do good.
That's what you always say, Ken. Don't just watch what they say, watch what they do.
Yeah.
Right.
And Maria has already let people know to watch we're watching what you do. We're watching.
Yeah, you know, we function as community watchdogs. It unfortunately, you know, we watch the facilities, we watch their permit renewal, we watch their violations. And I wish it's something the government did better, so that community groups like ours could respond to everything else that's wrong in our neighborhood. You know, there's so much to fix. But to me, I'm just optimistic that because there's so much to fix, that we can actually just scrap it and try to paint a canvas, right? Paint the world that we want to see, because our community does not always want to fight. It wants to also build a world, a visionary world that we see where all our people can be free. And that's something that we join others in the Climate Justice Alliance, because there's some people doing truly visionary work, like Black Dirt down in Philadelphia, you know? So there's so many people to be inspired. I couldn't even begin to name them all.
And Chester, Pennsylvania was like a poster child for environmental racism when that term was brand new. And the toxic waste dumps in Chester, Pennsylvania are still there.
And of course, now Maria, they got incinerators too.
Yeah. And of course, Maria is talking from her community in Newark area. And but this is happening in poor communities all over. Somehow I don't like the word poor, but in disadvantaged communities all over.
Yeah, we're just marginalized, you know? We're marginalized by the society, but we're rich in love and vision.
And action. I've always and it's interesting in some of the big greens when they'll have a program on environmental justice and then leave it behind. The people who were the guest speakers that month don't let themselves be left behind, and the big greens who want to do give their own greenwashing also have to pay attention. The fracking ban in the state of New York was not done by big greens. It was not done by politicians. It was done by grassroots. And when they stopped the fracking chemical icing up in the Finger Lakes, it was local moms who were fighting. And it's the grassroots. And what happens is the politicians who are paying so much attention to their funders, they don't know what the grassroots are doing. And all of a sudden, there we are.
Yeah, it's a story we see over and over, right? But I do believe in people power. And I've stopped believing a long time ago that anyone's going to come save us. You know, we have to save ourselves, lock hand in hand, and make sure that we are always in solidarity with each other's communities and paying attention. So that's something that you do on the ground. And it doesn't mean we don't have power. You know, we come together to form alliances like CJA for that very reason, so that we can center influence and often intervene in harmful legislation that, okay, like I said, because of that broad view, it misses the details that are harmful to our community.
Speaking of watching right now, folks, this is all that we have time for. 24 minutes of Ecologic really flies by. Maria, why don't you give your contact information for Ironbound?
Yeah,
your email and
yeah,
URL.
My email is very long, so definitely just go to ironboundcc.org and you can, find me there. I am overseeing the advocacy and organizing side. We are a two-sided organization, and I'd appreciate people reaching out to us. And more importantly, reach out to your local groups. So if you're in the neighborhood, if you're in Sunset Park, if you're in Harlem, or, you're out in Kentucky, there's Kentucky into the Commonwealth. Like I said, there's a group in every area that should be supported, and you should always try to give your support as directly and locally as possible. So I thank y'all for having me on the show.
Let's do it together. That's ironboundcc.org.
And the Climate Justice Alliance is climatejusticealliance.org. So thank you, Maria.
Thank y'all.
You can get environmental news on a variety of topics.
Right, on www.ecoradio.org.
That's www.ecoradio.org. Now, we have something that belongs to you. This listener-sponsored radio station is yours. Now we need you to show your responsibility and your love for WBAI Radio and your favorite show, or at least we hope one of them, that's Ecologic. You have a choice on how you can keep us on the air. You want to keep us on the air, right? You can go to www.give2wbai.org website to get any one or more of our terrific premiums. Or what would be much appreciated is for you to become our buddy. Just go to www.give2wbai.org for any amount. Give what this show is worth to you. You have our sincere thanks.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein. And we will see you next Friday at 2:30 p.m.
Having them as losers and suckers. The magazine reports Trump canceled a trip in 2018 to a World War I cemetery in France where U.S. Marines are buried because he feared his hair would become disheveled in the rain, end quote. Trump also opposed the inclusion of wounded veterans in a 2018 parade, saying, nobody wants to see that. Trump dismissed the report as fake news and said he's ready to swear on whatever, that he never called slain American service members losers or disrespected former prisoner of war, Senator John McCain. Trump did, in fact, once describe McCain as a loser and insisted he could not be considered a war hero because he was captured. The U.S. death toll from COVID-19 could top 410,000 by January 1st, according to a new projection from the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. That's more than double the current death toll, which is approaching 187,000. The Institute projects the daily death toll could reach 3,000 per day by December. However, the Institute is projecting 120,000 lives could be saved if 95% of the country regularly wore face masks. A Georgetown University professor specializing in Africa and the African diaspora has admitted she has lied about being Afro-Latina for years, when in fact she is a white Jewish woman from the suburbs of Kansas City. Jessica Krug made the acknowledgement on Thursday in a column she wrote for The Medium titled, The Truth and the Anti-Black Violence of My Lies. She said her career was built on a toxic soil of lies. She was also an activist in New York and recently testified by video to the New York City Council.
I also want to call out all these white New Yorkers who waited 4 hours with us to be able to speak and that did not yield their time to black and brown indigenous New Yorkers.
Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren announced Thursday the seven officers involved in the killing of Daniel Prude have been suspended with pay. Video released by his family shows police officers putting a hood over Prude's head and pressing his face into the pavement for 2 minutes. Daniel Prude died 7 days later. A medical examiner concluded that his death was a homicide caused by complications of asphyxia in the setting of a physical restraint. The police encounter began when Prude's brother called 911 asking for help because his brother was having a mental health crisis. Police are searching for a suspect today after a car rammed through a crowd of protesters in Times Square last night, demanding justice for Daniel Prude. NBC News reports the NYPD believes the driver was, earlier in the evening, part of a group of counter-protesters wearing Keep America Great hats who had angry verbal exchanges with the Black Lives Matter protesters. Police said no one has reported any injuries and that it was investigating video of the incident. Washington, D.C. released the body cam footage from a cop shooting Wednesday that left 18-year-old Dion Kay dead. The video shows cop Alexander Alvarez chasing an unidentified person before quickly turning around and shooting Dion Kay in the chest. Police say Kay had a gun and had thrown it nearly 100 feet as he was being shot. The killing led to demonstrations at the 7th District Police Station last night and outside Mayor Muriel Bowser's home this morning. Dion Kay turned 18 last month. Scattered showers and the DMV again this afternoon. Currently in Washington, it's sunny and 90. In New York, it's partly sunny and 84. I'm Askia Mohammed. Thank you for listening to WPFW Washington and...